Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to see each of you in worship this morning for this special combined worship service we have today. It's good to all be in one room praising the same God. If I could draw your attention to the bulletin, I'm going to mention a few announcements. I'm not going to mention all of those. Also, if I could draw your attention to the pew pads, which are located at the end of your pew, we invite members and guests alike to take that, jot down your information, pass it down to the next person. Once that's been completed, we ask you to pass it back to the center aisle so we can pick that up following the service today. I hear last night was a huge success at Dinner and a Show. And I'm looking forward to experiencing that myself here in a few minutes following worship service today. There are a couple announcements about that. If you're attending the Dinner and a Show today following the service, you've been asked to stay in here at the completion of the service. If you need to use the restroom, that's great, but come back in here and hang out, fellowship together, and they will come get us when it's time for us to come and sit down and enjoy that wonderful meal and all the acts I've been hearing about. Looking forward to seeing all the dancing. I don't know why people are laughing, but I'm looking forward to it. Few announcements listed in your bulletin. There is Monday morning Bible study tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. The snow should be melted, so you should be good by then. Also, tomorrow night, there is book club, 7 o'clock here at the church. This Wednesday, due to being Holy Week, we will not have our normal church family Wednesday night supper and gatherings together, but we will gather back Thursday at 7 right here for our Monday Thursday service, and then Friday at 7 as well for our Tenebrae service. Next week is Easter. I'm sure many of you will want to be here. Some of you will choose to be here at the 9 o'clock service, our more contemporary service we have then. And then for Sunday school at 9:45, then back in here at 11 o'clock. We are on normal schedule next Sunday for Easter. We do have children's time today. It's not following our first hymn. It's following our call to worship. So I invite all the children that are not going to be waving some palm branches that want to meet Jeff down here for children's time to do so following then. Our ushers now are going to come down the aisle. And they're going to come down here in the front. And when they pass you back by, if you're a guest with us for the first time, we just want to give you a little information about how we do things here at College Park. If you would, when they pass you by, just slip up your hand. Inside, there's a packet of information they're going to give you. There's a letter from our pastor telling you a little bit more about us and how we do things. Also, there is our highlights, which is our church newsletter that will let you know everything that's been going on in the life of the church. And we'll be putting out another one of those very quickly in the next few days, actually. It's great to be in God's house on this Palm Sunday. As we celebrate Jesus, we celebrate the triumphal entry. Before we get any further today, let's join our hearts together in prayer. Pray with me if you would. Father, today is about you, as every day should be. Forgive us for taking our focus off of you. Father, right now, have your way with us. Have your way with this service. Father, lead us to the cross, because that's why you're coming into the city. Father, today, let us worship you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. How'd you like that song? Yeah. Wow. I'm not sure who I should talk to. That's a bunch of... Hey, can y'all do me a favor? Everybody stand up right where you are. Turn that way. Turn that way. Say hi.
Hi.
All right, turn back this way. Look at the choir. Hi.
Hi.
Take a seat. All right. Y'all look so good. I wanted them to be able to see you. They were excited to watch you come in and wave your palm branches. Does anybody know why we had to wave the palm branches this morning?
Because Jesus
came alive
on the cross.
That's right. On the dirty ground. That's right. Good job. Give me five. Raymond doesn't have to preach this morning. We come in and we wave these palm branches because we are so excited. Jesus is here. I've got a question. Have you ever done something wrong? No. It was so many people that said, I don't know who that was, so I'm going to skip over. But you did something wrong. Everybody look at, you did something wrong, but and mom or dad found out, but they didn't punish you for it. They just like, we're just, you got to learn from that. We're going to go past this. Have you ever thought, oh, you got forgiven for something that you did? How does that make you feel? It makes you happy, right? I want you to multiply that by 1,000. Because when Jesus came into Jerusalem, the people knew, here he comes. He is the one who's going to save us. We don't deserve it. You and I, we mess up all the time. But God loves us so much that he sent us Jesus. And it should make us wave our palm branches and be excited every day, every minute, everywhere, because he came to save us from our sins, to forgive us when we do something wrong. Isn't that good news? Isn't that, oh, thank you, God. So they were saying, the God who saves us, waving the palm branches. That was really important to people back then. And they were showing Jesus how important that he was to them. So what I want you to do, when you go home, when you're at school, when you're with friends, talk about how amazing God is. Because he saves us. He's so excited to be with you. We need to say thank you. Thank you. Right, Lot. Thank you. All right, let's pray together. God, you are so good. As we see these beautiful children waving palm branches, reminding us of that moment when Jesus came to forgive us of our sins. He knew what was coming, and he came to show us how much he loves us. We love you. Help us to worship you, to praise you every moment we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go back to your seat.
Invite you to please join me for our time of confession printed in our bulletin this morning. As we have observed this throughout our Lenten season, we pray that a time of confession has become maybe part of your daily walk with Christ every day to confess our sins. This is a responsive reading. I will be reading the light print. Invite you to join me in the dark print, which is not until following our silent time of confession later on. So let's confess together. Like the people who greeted Jesus as he entered Jerusalem and then later pronounced, "Crucify him," we are fickle people who often deny Christ in our thoughts, words, and deeds. Remembering the events of Jesus last week helps us to see ourselves for what we are, sinners in need of a Savior we have in Christ. In honesty and hope, we confess now our sins to God. Jesus, our Lord, we shout hosannas. to praise you. With eager hands, we place our cloaks and palms on the path before you. Yet, Lord, we confess that our mouths that seek to praise you often deny or defy you. And we confess that the hands that seek to serve you often become fists. Lord, hear us as we confess. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For Christ came into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him should be saved. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Hosanna. Amen.
As we enter a Sunday of celebration for Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, if we fast forward a week, we're celebrating again our Lord's resurrection. But between the triumphant entry and the resurrection, there's a horrible week that Jesus had to endure. He had to because of us. He endured this because of Old Testament prophecies. He endured this because his Father told him, yeah, you got to. You have to do this. He saved us from our sins by dying on a cross. And if we go from one week of celebration to another week of celebration and leave out the events in the middle, we miss a whole lot of the story. There is a time of darkness. There is a time of grief. There is a time where we question ourselves. But we are assured, we read our scriptures, we read our Bible, and we know how the story turns out. We know how this ends. So we are celebrating over 2,000 anniversaries of a triumphant entry. Next Sunday, we celebrate over 2,000 years of celebrating a resurrection and waiting for a second coming. Let's pray. Lord, we're so grateful to be in your house today. We are honored that we can worship where we worship and worship who we worship. We are your children, Lord, and you have provided us with many, many, many great things. And a lot of them we don't deserve. But you love us in spite of us. You love us. Lord, as we celebrate your triumphant entry into Jerusalem, we go from praise and hosannas to all of a sudden mumbling and grumbling and crucifying, crucifying, until a Sunday where we look at an empty grave. Lord, thank you for that prophecy. Thank you for that fulfillment. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of that. Lord, as we come to this part of our service, may we use the gifts that are given to further your kingdom. For it's in thy name we pray. Amen.
Well, I had a really good Palm Sunday sermon, but between the children and Kent, I got nothing. I mean, that's just... Lucky for you, I had a backup, huh? Lucky for you. Yeah. Yeah. We are finishing up. This is not your typical Palm Sunday sermon, and we acknowledged this back about 3 or 4 weeks ago when we realized how it was going to play out, right? But we are finishing up a series entitled 16 Verses. It's based on the book, The Whole Story of the Bible in 16 Verses by Chris Bruno. And as I do every week, I'll tell you right up front, there are passages I take verbatim. There are stuff that I paraphrase. There's scholarship I pull in from other directions. There's my own study. This is really kind of a mixed bag, but it's our mixed bag, and we're finishing up this week, okay? And I have good news for you this morning. Really good news for you. I am not going to give you a recap of the whole series. That cut 10 minutes out of this thing. But you'll have to go back to previous weeks and listen to that if you want to find out the whole recap. But I will say this. When we started this journey on January the 21st, when we started this series, we talked about the fact that God had a creation. He made all of this and he called it good. Not only good, but
very good.
And it seemed like the issue of sin and death kind of hijacked the plans of God for humanity, right? When Adam and Eve kind of went out on their own, it seemed like they had set a course that could not possibly be redeemed. But over the next several weeks, we began to discover that God was always in control and still is. And he took this bad situation, which probably could have been averted if he hadn't given us free will, right? I mean, it's kind of, yeah. Yeah, if he hadn't given us free will, the whole thing probably could have been averted. But he took this bad situation and turned it into something quite amazing. God began to reveal his glory through an astonishing plan to save undeserving sinners, ultimately by sending his son, his perfect son, to die for the ungodly. And that's where you can insert your name and I insert my name. To die for the ungodly. As Kent said, we'll focus on that this week, what that means for each one of us. So the promises then of the Old Testament, the sacrifices of the law, everything that the prophets Isaiah and Ezekiel spoke about, along with everything else in the Old Testament, found its fulfillment in Jesus. He came to do for us what we could not possibly do for ourselves. And as a result of that, he defeated the problem of sin and death, crushed the serpent's head, and demonstrated how he could and would breathe eternal life through his spirit into us. But the story doesn't end there. It doesn't end at the resurrection. As we touched on briefly last week, we have been called upon. We have a responsibility. We have been called upon by God to present his amazing continuing plan to other people. After his resurrection, after over 500 people had seen the risen Lord, Jesus ascended back to heaven after giving us the command to do what? Make disciples. Yeah. Make disciples. So go out in my name and make disciples. In other words, we are to follow him, but we're also to bring others along with us on that journey. We are to live out daily what Christ desires for us, but not only that, we are to encourage other people to do the same. We're called to spread the good news of God's saving plan to everyone around us who's hurting, those who are still lost in sin and death in that cycle. But then there's a warning. This evangelism time will not continue forever. You see, the New Testament is full of promises that just as the angels saw the disciples watching Jesus descend into heaven, the angels told the disciples as they were watching Jesus ascend into heaven, the same thing is true for us. We need to understand what those words were from the angels. And the angel said that this one you see, he is going to come back in the same way that you saw him go. My friends, Jesus is coming back. That ought to make you shout. He is coming back. Now, there are many fine Christians who disagree about the details surrounding his return. Some of them argue passionately about it. Yeah, I know it. They make noises. They argue passionately about it. For me, frankly, I don't care about the details. I do not care about the details. I just care that he is going to return. He will return. And when he does, his people, again, you can insert our names in there, his people will live with him forever. Amen? Amen. Will live with him forever. Now, most of those who disagree about the details do agree that when he returns, it will be obvious to all that sin and death have now been defeated. And Satan and all of his followers will face the eternal consequences of their rebellion against God. See, it doesn't really matter what the political correct stance is. It does not matter. That has nothing to do with truth. My friends, there are people who will not live with God forever because they have chosen to rebel against God. There are people that will happen to. There are people that will be spending eternity out of the presence of God. But for those who trust in Jesus, they will not only live with him forever in the new creation, but they will enjoy the intimate fellowship with the Father. We read about this new creation back in Isaiah 65. You remember that? I mentioned when we read that passage that there was a New Testament passage which kind of paralleled that and gave us a little bit more detail. Do you remember that? That's where we're ending up today. So open up your Bible. If you've got it, open up your Bible to Revelation chapter 21. You're going to need it because I'm going to be going back and forth a little bit here, okay? I'm sorry, choir. We got to do something here, don't we? We need a little monitor right here or something where you can follow along. Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, Isaiah, right. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. More about that in a minute. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Now, part of this definitely sounds like the echo from Isaiah, doesn't it? But there's new stuff here. In the vision that was given by God to the Apostle John, we read again about this new heaven and new earth. Now, how many of you remember our study we did last year on heaven? Do you remember that? When we talked about heaven. And in that study, we dispelled a lot of myths about what heaven is and what heaven is not. And one of those myths is that, well, you know, it's got to be boring because all we're going to do is sit around on clouds and play harps. Where do we get that stuff? Where do we get that stuff? That is absolutely not true. If that is your idea of a good time, you are going to be sorely disappointed because that's not the way it's going to play out. Heaven is going to be an exciting place. It is going to be a vibrant place. We're going to be busy. We're going to be praising God. We're going to be serving God. We're going to be serving one another. Kind of what we were supposed to be doing here, but we'll do it at a different level in heaven. And the more I learn, the more I'm convinced that the new heaven and the new earth is going to be just an incredible place to be. You think this world is beautiful, and it is. You have not seen anything yet. The new heaven, the new earth will be God's creative genius at its absolute best. And there will be no danger, no fear, no anxiety of any kind. When John placed those words in there, many people believe that what John meant when he wrote there would be in verse 1, be no longer any sea, has to do with that, no fear, no anxiety, all of that. Let me explain. If for us, when we go to the sea, when we go to the ocean, that's generally a pleasant time, isn't it? What kind of things do you like to do in the ocean, in the sea? Fish? Swim? Jet ski? Water ski? Jump waves? Body surf? Regular surf? I mean, generally speaking, for us, the ocean, the sea, represents kind of a fun time, right? That was not the case. That was not, you don't want to get sunburned, get sand in your swimsuit, yeah. That was not the case for the ancient world. For the people in the ancient world, you know, the sea was something that was dangerous. There was so much unknown about it. Sea monsters and falling off the edge of the world and all of that stuff. So the readers in the first and second century would have thought about all the potential danger that they were going to be spared because there was no more sea to worry about. Different mindset. We get even more of this kind of language in verse 4 when he says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. What is he talking about by old order? Another translation says the former things. John is trying to help us to understand all of the consequences of sin and death will be no more. Because there will be no more sin. There will be no more death. So all the consequences of that will be no more. The old order has passed. The curse has been reversed, and we will begin to enjoy in its fullness what Adam and Eve only got started enjoying before they messed up. We will get to live all of that to its fullest. Then there's the thing in verse 2, if you look at that, the holy city, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. See, with the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, the message of hope that God had been delivering to Israel now became available to all the world. It became available to everyone. As believers were faithful to spread the gospel to every tribe and language and people and nation, as it says in Revelation 5:9, as believers were responsible to pass that word along, there were others who became recipients of the good news of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of who he is and what he offers to those who will believe. So it makes sense then that Jerusalem, the city where God's people, and more importantly, God's presence dwelt, as we learned back when we were studying the passage about King David, it was about God's presence. So in Jerusalem, where God's people and God's presence dwell, it only makes sense that one day Jerusalem will fill the whole earth because we see that the dwelling place of God will be where? With us, with his people, according to verse 3. God will dwell with his people. And the experience, John goes on, the experience will be heightened by the fact that this new Jerusalem will be, quote, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Now, this is pretty much self-explanatory, isn't it? Men, have you ever stood right down here and you saw your bride come through that door, maybe not in this church, But do I have to explain what this kind of bubbles up, the emotion? That's what he wanted us to get a handle on. As a bride beautifully adorned for her husband, this new Jerusalem is going to be incredible. And in this new Jerusalem, finally, the covenants of Abraham and Judah and Israel and David will see their fulfillment as the royal offspring, the son of David, the Messiah, the Christ, reigns forever over God's redeemed people. Can you get excited about that? I can. It's like, even so, Lord Jesus, come today. Bring it on. And that's kind of the way it begins to end up. I tease people, I'm not anxious about things to come. I've read the last chapter. I know how it ends. I know exactly how it ends. And see, we're not quite to the last chapter, so just as a bonus, because you came today, because you weathered the blizzard of 2018 and came to church today, or because you're listening online, you get this bonus. You see, as you go on into the next part of Revelation, the next chapter, you're going to find that everything kind of comes back full cycle. We began in Genesis 1:1. We began in Genesis chapter 1 with creation. Do you remember the whole tree of knowledge of good and evil thing? You remember that? Well, if you continue reading in Revelation, you'll find that a tree of life springs up in the middle of this new Jerusalem. And a river that flows directly from the throne of God brings nourishment, brings life to this tree. And this tree, in turn, gives life to the nations. It's in Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 and 2. Read that. Good stuff. So as it was in the very beginning, God's people will always be dependent on Him for life. And as our study has revealed, we can always trust Him to give us what we need. Maybe not exactly what we want, but what we need. And in all of eternity, people will have the joy of trusting God and receiving from Him. And that is the fulfillment of what we were created for. You remember when we talked about why we were created? It was to be in relationship. It was to be in intimate fellowship with God, in the life-giving presence of our Creator God. And that's what it will be like. So what are we to do now? We finished this series. What are we to do with this information? Tuck it away. Leave those notes, collect dust. What do we do? What do we do with this information? He's telling us, spread it. Spread the good news. Tell people, shout it out, squeal it out. Do whatever you have to do. Tell people, pass it on. Use this week to do that. You see, people are kind of receptive this week. This week, Holy Week, people are kind of receptive. Those who might normally not be receptive are this week. Bring people with you next week. Bring them with you if they'll come. Preach the gospel this week, and if necessary, use words. Bring them with you next week to hear the good news of Jesus' resurrection as we examine the question, which is more important? I'll leave that with you, let you figure out, try to guess what I'm talking about. Which is more important? We'll gather together next week. Don't miss it. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of this day. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that we celebrate today. But Father, we also know what's coming this week. Help us in our journey to complete the journey so that it will have eternal significance in our own lives. God, we love you. We pray that our lives would reflect that this week. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as I've already said, that's what's necessary. That is step number one. I'll be here at the front and be glad to talk with you about that. If you're here and you say, well, I am a believer, but I really need prayer and encouragement and support and all that to live out a faithful disciple's life, welcome to the club. We all need it. We all need it. You can certainly recommit yourself where you're standing. The altar will be open. I'll be here if you'd like to speak with me. Pray with me. Be glad to do that. If you're here and you'd like to join this congregation, officially speaking, there are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together.
See you on the cross.
following. I want to encourage you following the benediction and the response. If you would, greet one another. Say hello to those who are guests with us today. I know we have several guests with us. Introduce yourself. Reminder for those of you that are staying for dinner and a show, if you would, after greeting one another and all of that, if you could, remain seated or to kind of remain in this area, and they'll be glad to come get you when it's time to be seated, okay? Let's have a word of prayer together as we go. Gracious Father, thank you for this opportunity that you present to us, the opportunity to come together as your children, to learn more about you and what you have planned, what you desire for our lives. God, we love you and we pray that that would be manifest in the lives in our lives this week as we speak things that edify. Father, as we act upon the grace that you've extended to us. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.